March the 8th, and it's $10 to get in. It's across the street from the Paragon Casino. Come and be set free. Come and tap into the supernatural for your life. Enough is enough. The devil has been playing too long and too hard, and it's time for some new things to take place and to manifest in your life. I speak prophetically that God is going to visit you. God is going to change some situations for you because you have just received the newness of life. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you March the 8th at the Paragon, across from the Paragon Casino Resort at the Hampton Inn and Suites. God bless you. Talk to you tomorrow. Listen tomorrow again at the same time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. We pray you were blessed by this word. Now, don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Victoria Jacobs or Victoria Jacobs Ministries public figure page for live videos twice a week and prayer. We will see you soon. Also, mail us your prayer requests at P.O. Box 60882, Lafayette, Louisiana, 70596. God bless you.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Man, that's great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
On online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now. We praise your name. You're worthy. We magnify your holy and sanctified name for your great and greatly to be praised. Angels bow before you, heaven and earth, we adore you, for you're an awesome in our sight. Father, you're tremendous in all your ways and all that you do. We worship you. Father, let your will be done, let your kingdom come in this place. Lord God, show it in heaven and in earth. Father, we ask you now that you touch everyone, each one, each person, each being. No matter how old or how young, you know their issues, their situations. And you know what they need. Father, give it to them. And we thank you, God, that because you said in your word, you'll supply all I need according to your riches and glory. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for your strength and health. We thank you, God, for your perfect will and way. Father, as I speak today, Lord, give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet. And we just shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, Lord God, to all and joy to all that hear and believe. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord God, after you healed and delivered, and after you set free, after you blessed us, after you healed us, after you've corrected us even, Lord God, we'll be careful to give you glory and praise. And we will join with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy, God. You are holy. And your glory fills the earth. Father, these and many other blessings we ask in your darling son, Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I want to use for, I had trouble getting the title. I know the content is more important. But some people put a lot of emphasis on their titles, and I've gotten to the age where I don't put that much emphasis on the title, but, you know, I just give you the content, amen? But the title or tag or topic or thought that I would tag to this message is, don't worry, he cares. Amen, amen. Tell your neighbor, don't worry, he cares. Amen. He, meaning God, cares for you. Amen. The devil, he is as a roaring lion. He wants you to be afraid, so he lets you hear him first. But if you were hearing God first, you wouldn't care about the roar, because you know that he is a very present help. Oh, my God, today. You'll know that he'll be a fence all around you. you'll know, oh, come on and say amen, that the Lord is your strong tower and the righteous run to it and they're safe. You'll know that the Lord is the strength of your life. Whom shall you fear? I wish I had somebody in the house. You'll know that even in the midnight hour when the nighttime comes and the lion begins to roar, you'll figure out the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemy, the devil, when he come my way, he stumble and fail? I wish I had a few people in the house that say, I know he stumbled and fell because he got close enough. I could hear him breathe, but the Lord was on my side. Anybody in here feel like David? If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Trying to help somebody here. He said a roaring lion. Didn't say a biting lion. You know why he can't bite? Because he'd been defanged by Jesus. Jesus had been his orthodontist for a while. About 2,000 years ago, he pulled his teeth and now he can't bite you. He can scare you. Y'all with me here? Oh, I feel it getting a little warm in my right here where I am. I don't know about where you are. Oh, my God. Will you stand? But look at this. He says, seeking whom he may devour. Who does he seek? He seeks all of us. Remember, the Bible says that when the sons of God, in the book of Job, the sons of God came to present themselves to God, that the devil came also among them. Do you know that we can come to church and the devil can try to come with us? He come in here to distract you, to keep you from worship, keep your mind on something else when it should be on God. Keep your mind in your prayer. You can be praying and your mind can be on something else. Keep you disengaged, amen, from being able to engage God, amen. And so the enemy is there and he wants to keep you disengaged and keep you from being able to engage God like you should so that you can receive what God has. But so he's seeking whom he may devour. But you need to say, I ain't the one to be devoured. I ain't the one to be devoured because I'm connected to him. I'm connected. I'm in Christ. And if you're going to get me, you got to come through Jesus. Oh, come on and say amen. So he's seeking whom he may devour. And you know what the lions do? If you ever watch the Discovery Channel, you'll find out that lion will lie and wait and wait and wait until he see an animal going about his business and getting away from the herd. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that's why when we come in here collectively, the enemy can't really do anything to us because we together and we got some strength. Oh, yeah, we'll be on him. If he come in here, we'll cast him out. Am I right about it? And so safety is in the multitude. And so we need to be in the multitude or the multitude of the believers. And so if you ever get out of that, he's going to devour you. Amen. And so he says he's seeking whom he may devour. And so what the lion does, he waits. And as soon as one of them go off a little bit and go astray, then he attacks and he takes him and he quickly tried to give a death bite to the neck to suffocate him and to kill him. Amen. He goes for the jugular. But thank God every now and then, if you ever watch a Discovery, there's always somebody that'll come back and fight. There's a water buffalo. There's a hyena. There's a baboon. Somebody gonna come back and they're gonna fight to try to get them free. Amen. Here. And so here, that's what we are. We are here to fight for you. We're here to fight with you to make sure that we can get you freed up out of the jaws of the lion. But he's seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in the book of Job that he went among the sons of God, and God said, Satan, what you doing? He said, where you been? I've been traveling to and fro the earth seeking whom I may devour. This shows you that God knows exactly what the devil's doing too. So it's not a surprise when he attack you. God already knows, but we got to trust God that even though he knows the attack is coming, that he gives us a way of escape like he said he would. I wish I had somebody. And so he tells him, he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, well, since you said it, I've been by Job's house and I realized that I can't get in because you put a hedge around him. Do I have anybody in here? Somebody ought to shout that because the devil hadn't been by your house, it's not that he hadn't been by, it's the fact that he really couldn't get in. He tried to poke his head through. God said, no. He's tried to try to get in your business. God said, no, I'm not having it. He's tried to mess with your family. God said, I got them too. I wish I had mad somebody. He's trying to do something with your children. God said, now I know you ain't trying the kids, because I'll go down for the kids here. I wish I had a few people in the house that realize that it's not that the devil hadn't tried to mess with you. It's the fact that God has protected you. Can I get a witness in the house? And so when I think about that, I said, God, look at how you protected Job. He said, yeah, but when he said, then when God, he said, God, Job don't serve you for nothing. The only reason why he serves you is because you bless him. And we need to know that the devil is accusing us of being some type of user. He's accusing us of trying to use God just to have blessing. I'm not trying to use God just to have blessing. I think it's a privilege just to know him. I think it's a privilege just for his presence to be with little wretched me. I wish I had somebody. And so he said, if you just take everything, let me mess with him. I guarantee I can make him curse you to your face. But the Bible said Job was more upright than anybody in the world at that time. And so the Bible said that he touched not only Job, but he touched his family. He touched his possessions. He came into his house. He found a breach to get in. And Job said, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. We can't afford to fear. I wish I had somebody in the house. And so when it came upon him, he had people come to him and they accused him of, Job, you got some in your heart. You got some stuff you did wrong. That's why this stuff happened. We need to know, because things happen to us is not because we did something wrong. Many times it's because we did something right, like accept the word of God. The Bible actually says that when the word is sown, that the enemy, as soon as you walk out, he comes immediately to choke it up so that it won't take root in your life. But I'd say the devil is a liar, and the root of the word will spread in your life, and it shall grow. And the Bible says one water, one plant, one water, but God will give the increase in your life. Come on and shout hallelujah. And so the Bible said that when Job was going through all of this, even his wife gave up on him. Do you know that it's a bad and sad scenario when the only person that still loved you, because he didn't have no more family, his kids was gone, and the only person that you thought loved you say, you know what, I don't want to see you suffer, curse God and die. And Job said, woman, you must be crazy. God has been too good to me for me to curse him. If God give it, God take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have what you had. Amen. But thank God that he is who he said he is. And he said, I know my Redeemer lives, and when I'm tried, I'll come forth as pure gold. Anybody feel like that? And you know what I love about Job? He didn't give the devil the satisfaction to go back and say, look at what the devil did. Oh, I've been fighting the devil. You know, we testify, the devil been attacking me. Job said, no, he looked at God. He said, God give it and God take it. God, he said that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He didn't even look at what the devil was doing. He looked at what God had done. God allowed it, so I know I got to be all right. Do you know, 9 months later, the Bible says in chapter 42, after this, Job lived on. And I'm trying to tell you, after your trouble, after your trial, you can live on. After your circumstances, you can live on. After your situation, you can live on. After your sickness, you can live on. After the lies and the labels and all the things that people put on you, you can still live on. Tell somebody, say, live on. Tell your other neighbor, live on. After all you go through, you can live. This stuff ain't gonna take me out. This stuff is not gonna tire me out. It's not going to make me break. It's not going to make me bend. But I'm going to live to declare the works of the Lord. I'm trying to get finished here. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. See, we got to understand something here. That God only had one child that didn't sin. But all his children suffer. Y'all with me? Every child that he has go through suffering. Paul said, I just want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Not only in the power of his resurrection, but I know if I suffer, he's going to be with me. The glory of God rests upon me when I suffer and I'm able to go through. Now, how we go through matters. Because many times we go through with a sad countenance. We go through with so much complaining. I don't see how God delivers us as much as we complain, as much as we curse ourselves, as a bigger hole that we dig for ourselves with our mouth. The Bible says that we are snared by the words that we speak. You keep talking all this negativity. You keep all you. Every time somebody see you, you got to tell them all how bad it is and how it just don't seem fair and it ain't right. Look at what they done to me. Look at how they cut me right here. Look. You see the knives? They stabbed me right here and had nerve enough to stab me right here where I can see them. You know, we tell all of this and we complain. But then what you should be saying is that I've been through this cut. I've been through this backstabbing. They stabbed me in the chest. They tried to take me out, but I'm still here. That's the testimony. But we tell everybody and then we try to get them mad with everybody who ain't with us. I don't care if you ain't with me. Amen. I know that if the Lord is on my side, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So quit trying to convince people to be on your side when God is already on your side. I'm going to get through. Y'all bored. Y'all bored. But it wasn't George W. Bush that came up with No Child Left Behind. God did it first. Y'all don't hear me. He said, I'm not leaving any of my children behind. I got to pick them up. I got to pull them out of the pit. I got to help them. I got to deliver them. I got to give them a way of escape. I got to bring them out from where they are, out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, let's get finished. We got to learn how to stand. Submit, stand, and then we got to learn how to be strong. Look at verse 10. He says, but the God of all grace, and I'm going to get out of here, who had called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look at this. We have to learn, he says, first off, but the God of all grace. We have to understand that grace here, it doesn't really mean a merited favor. It's charis, but right here, what it actually means is a type of favor. What it also means is a gift that you can't earn. What it also means here is an enabling power to endure whatever the enemy brings your way. Woo, my. If God is going to enable me to endure this, to overcome this, to go through this, then I just need to let God do it. The problem is we try to tell God how to do it, when to do it, why to do it, where to do it. And God said, I already done it. If we stop worrying and complaining and telling God, he's already done it. If we just look and see, that's why he tells Joshua to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You don't need to fight in this battle, for this battle is not yours. It belongs to God. This battle ain't even between you and the devil. It's between God and the devil. And the devil, no, he can't win because he's already been defeated. I wish I had somebody. But in your mind, he wants you to think that he still can defeat you. He wants you to think that he can still fight you and overcome you. Well, you can't be overcome because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, something you didn't do. It was something that Jesus did, and the word of our own testimony when you talk about what he did. I wish I had somebody that said, I'm going to testify of the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to talk about what God has done for me. I'm not going to talk about what the devil's doing to me, but I'm going to talk about how God is a victor and that he's never lost. And I'm going to talk about how I'm not going to talk about how I'm a victim. I'm going to talk about how God made the devil a victim. Amen. And since that, I'm going to be a victor in the works of God. Come on and shout amen in this house. And so he said for us to what? First off, he says that the grace of God who had called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus. How did he do that? He did that by sending Jesus, who came, hung, bled, and died for you and I, who died. But not only did he die, but he decided on 3 days. In 3 days, I'm rising back up to take this power and give it to you. Power to become sons of God, to be created in the image of God, so that you will show forth that image. And since you're showing the image, the devil roars. But because the devil roars, you get afraid. Don't be afraid, because there is a lion in you too. The Bible says that the lion of the tribe of Judah, his name is Jesus. Somebody ought to glorify him right now. If you're a lion, you ought to roar right now to let him know that there is a new pack in the house. And although, devil, you roared in my life, but I'm going to let you know the line of the tribe of Judah, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no weapon formed against me that shall be able to prosper, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do I have anybody in the house? Then he tells us, but the God had called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, and I just told you how he did it. Then he said, after that, you have suffered a little while. The problem with many of us, we don't ever want to suffer. We don't ever want to go through nothing, but you got to understand, I told you earlier that every child of God goes through a suffering period, and sometimes we may suffer a little longer than others, but when we back up a few verses, you understand what he said. He said that these things that happened, they've already been accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so let me revisit that, because I kind of skipped over it. But he said, resist steadfastly. In other words, fight against the devil, not with your fist, but with your faith. Do I have anybody that say, I got faith? And Jesus said that if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that you can speak unto the mountain and tell it to be moved into the sea. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that if I can speak to the mountain with a sober and vigilant attitude, then the mountain has no choice. It's been in my way long enough, and I want to get it out of my face. Do I have anybody? We got to understand, be sober and vigilant. But then he says, knowing the same afflictions, in other words, the same things that I'm suffering, I ain't the only one going through this stuff. Everybody else has been through something. And he said, it is accomplished in your brethren in the world. What he's saying here is that while we're suffering and we're thinking that we ain't going to make it, somebody else has already made it. So we need to look and see that God, if he did it for them, he has no respect of persons, then God will also do it for me. I wish I had somebody that said, never would have made it without you, preach. I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for God. I know I would have been lost, seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores, but the God of my salvation came and picked me up and turned me around. Come on and shout amen in here. And then he goes on to say, after you suffered a little while, I don't know what your while is. I don't know what your season is. A while is a season. A while is a moment of time, sometime long, sometime short. And some of you may be going through a short period of suffering, but don't complain in your period. Oh, come on and say amen. Some of you may be going through a long period of suffering, but I declare what the word of God says in Psalm number 1. He said that don't worry about it. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bear fruit in his season. Come on and shout yes here. He said that you'll not only bear fruit in your season, but everything your hands touch, that it'll be able to prosper. I don't know about you, but I'll be touching everybody. I'll be touching my children. Come here, child. I'll just touch them, because what my hands touch, it shall you want your bank account to grow? Bring it here. Bring me your checkbook. Let me touch it, because the Bible said that whatever I got confidence in what the word says. Do I have anybody? Oh, come on and shout yes here. And so since I got a season of prosperity, a season, he said, my leaf shall not wither. And so what I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about how they say every dog got a day. But I'm a child of God. I don't have a day. I have a season preaching here. Oh, come on and shout glory now. He said that whatever I do shall prosper. I don't care what comes my way. The enemy, when he comes in, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Preaching here. I wish I had a few people in the house that realize that don't worry, God cares for you. I need to give God my cares, cast off my worries, and trust in the Lord with all my heart, and lean not unto my own understanding, but acknowledge him in all my ways, and he will direct my path. Do I have anybody that says, say, I'm with it, Lord. I need you to direct me. I need you to show me. And sometimes I need you to hide me. The Bible tells us in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely, somebody say surely, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He'll cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. I wish I had a few people that say, I trust you. I trust in the wings of the Holy Ghost. I trust you. Because when I can't trace, I begin to trust you. I can't see my way, but I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. Somebody say yes, yes. I trust you, Lord, with tears in my eyes. I trust you with pain in my body, with no money in my pocket. I trust you, Lord, because I know that whatever the enemy does, God will turn it around for my good. He meant it for bad, but I'm so glad that God turned it around. Somebody say yes. Give God some praise. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Shout yes. Anybody know he will? Won't God care for you? Won't he provide for you? Won't he do it? Won't he make a way where there was no way? Won't he open doors? Can anybody help me preach and tell your neighbor, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't God fix it? Won't God change it? Won't God pick you up? Say yes. Every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Anybody in the house, say, I know the Lord will answer prayer. I prayed about it. I didn't even worry while they were trying to figure it out. God had already worked it out. Say yes. Say yes. Ain't he all right? I say, ain't he all right? Don't fool me now. Do you believe the Lord will make a way for you? Won't he make your enemy your footstool? Say yes here. I gotta tell you that the Lord will come hell or hot water. The Lord will come devil or whoever. The Lord will pick me up. Somebody say yes. He'll make a way of escape. When I talk about deliverance, the Lord had delivered me. I wish I had somebody. You see, the word delivered in the Hebrew writing, it means to be caught by reflex. It's God's reflex not to let me fall. It's God's reflex to grab me, catch me when I fall. Somebody say yes. The enemy knocked me off balance, but God, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. He delighted in his way. Somebody say yes. Don't he fall, he should not utterly be cast down. In other words, whenever it looked like I fall, God say, oh no you don't, because my name is on the line. I can't let you fall. When I look like I'm stumbling, God picks me back up and put a pep in my step. Somebody say yes. My enemies won't have their way with me. Matter of fact, he said in Psalm 23, he said he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, the same folks that thought I wasn't gonna make it, thought I wouldn't be here today, I can go up to the table and say, I'm still here. You lied on me, but I'm still here. You thought I was gone, but I'm back. Say yeah, say yes. And you're right, and you're right. Say yes, say yes. I'm about to go to my seat. I think I'm happy enough. I can run on because I know what the end's going to be. But before I go to my seat, grab your neighbor. Rock them and shake them. Shake them and rock them. And say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know, I...